It starts chapter 6, actually, of St. Matthew's Gospel. We're still dealing with our Lord's reinterpretation of the Torah and all the customs that come from it. Jewish piety correctly understands that the three basic acts of piety are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Prayer, so that we relate to God. And then fasting, so that we deny ourselves. If you read the Magnificat, Augustine has some lovely words about fasting and what it's for. So there's prayer and then fasting. Now that you've fasted, you haven't consumed all your own goods by eating them. So yeah, you can give to the poor. And so there's relating to God, self-discipline, and care for the poor. And those are the three basic acts of biblical piety. Now, we have reached at this point, as it were, the climax of St. Matthew's Gospel, as I'll try to point out. If you want to have a real good exercise sometimes, take your Bible and read these chapters, 5, 6, and 7, and see how they are all concentrated on the Father. Don't worry about these things. Your Father knows them. Do these things and your Father will see in secret. Now, into this set, St. Matthew introduces the Our Father. We don't have it today because the men, people organizing our readings, took it out and put it for tomorrow. So we would have these three and then have... But in Matthew, when you pray, and your Father who will see in secret will repay you, when you pray, do not babble, and we go right into the Our Father in the Gospel. So because that's going to be the absolute top of the pyramid, the Our Father. See, this the way St. Matthew has organized our Lord's teaching in this Sermon on the Mount is all about the Father. And so the top of the pyramid is the Our Father. So he inverts the order. You have almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. But he does that so that prayer will be in the middle. And you see, and then the commentary on when you pray is, now when you pray, this is what you say. And we have the Our Father, which, as you know, is in different, slightly different wording in Luke and in a completely different place. Luke has a sermon, something like Matthew's, much shorter. But this is back in chapter 11 when the disciples say, teach us to pray like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, all right, when you pray, say. And you have that sort of shorter version of the Our Father. So what's at the basis of all of this? Huh? Faith. My Father sees me. My Father loves me. I want to do everything for my Father. And I don't need acclamation and from everybody. Now that, in other words, we are so desperate for approval that we'll do just about anything. And the Lord is saying, that's foolish. That's foolish. There's only one who can approve of you in a way that has eternal meaning. And that's your Father. So do things for him. St. Thomas, when he begins his treatise on the moral life, which is the whole second part of the Summa, the huge big part, and that's why it's got a first part of the second part, the second part of the second part, because it's so big. In there, he begins by saying, here we're going to talk about actions, acts, because we go to God, you see. And he says, and he quotes Augustine, we go to God non pedibus sed affectibus. We don't go to God by our feet, but by our decisions, by our actions. And so then the first question he asks is, well, we're heading for beatitude. We're heading for eternal happiness. Now, what is happiness? It's a remarkably clean mind he has, you know. He says, well, does it consist in wealth? Is it wealth what makes us happy? He says, look, wealth comes down to this, that you have enough to eat, to have enough to put in a hole in your head so that you can keep on living. It's all outside of you. And we can build it up, fancier clothes, bigger cars, bigger house, bigger whatever, but it comes down to having enough to eat and a house, a roof over your head. Well, that's all outside of you. How could that make you happy? And he goes on like this. You see, now one of the ones he asks about, and that's why I'm bringing it up here, is whether happiness consists in honor, which is what this is. This is desperate, you know. Everyone ought to see how hard I pray, and then they'll all see how great I am. And he says, so what? And he adduces a great principle from the Greek philosophers, Aristotle. Honor is in the one honoring. Excellence is in the one honored, if it's there. So honor can never make you happy because it's in somebody else. Isn't that beautiful? Honor can never make you happy. Everybody in the world claps. You're wonderful. You're smart. You're grunt. All right. That's in them. That's not in you. So how could honor make you happy? But there is one. If he honors you, blessed are you. You are honored for eternity. And that's your Father. That's your Father. Everybody else, well, you know, you hit a home run, everybody claps. I mean, that's good. You deserve it. You hit a home run. But that's not going to make you happy. Because the honor is in the other guy. The excellence is in you if it's there. It's excellence that makes you happy. And the excellence that makes us happy is attaining the goal of our existence, namely union with God. Can you see how clean that is? And this is what our Lord is saying. You want to give alms, great. But you know, you give alms in a way that everybody claps. So what have you got? You got clap. You got nothing. But if you do it for your Father, whether other people see you or not, your Father honors you, and that changes you. And so when you fast to deprive yourself so that you can have something to give away, don't make a big deal out of it. You see, don't make a big deal out of it. Your Father sees you. And he's the only one whose honor, you see, is eternal. The honor, the honor est in honorante is the phrase. Honor is in the one honor. But when God honors, you see, it really touches us, changes us. And then when you pray, go pray. Talk to your Father in secret. Talk to him. Now, you can all pray. We could have 500 people in this chapel. We could all sing our hearts out, and the Father would love it. Provided all our hearts are pure. We're reconciled to each other. And we just want to praise and honor and love God. Now you see what that does for us? If honor is in the one honoring and we're honoring God, see what it does for us? We honor the right person. And that's what he's teaching us here. We are so desperate that everybody like us, think we're great, you know. We'll do all sorts of stuff. Instead of saying, wait a minute, that's not going to make any difference. If everybody thinks I'm great, that's to their credit, not mine. So why kill myself after this stuff, trying to make a good impression? Now, that's not the same as taking responsibility for your actions. You know, bad actions pull down the righteousness of the group. Good actions build them up. A good example is a good thing. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But that's not looking for honor. That's a way of service. Setting an example. And every leader must do that. every leader. That's why the Baptist goes after Herod. You're the king of the nation, and you just dumped your wife and took another one. That is a disgrace. And it will weaken the virtue of the nation. Do you understand why we're all so disappointed when we see the mess in the politics? You know, they're not supposed to be like that. They're all, I don't know what they're doing, poor people. But you see, that's different. Because then you see our bad example and our good example make a difference. And we'll be judged. The Lord will get after us after that. That's not the same. But it has to be authentic. And therefore, it first has to be related to the Father. And then the Father says, you know, do this, do that. Build up your people. Speak justly and honestly. You know, don't lie just to get votes. Why? Well, look what happens to the moral fiber of the country. Everybody watching these, what do you call them, elections, they're saying, they're all lying. I mean, and trying to stroke emotions and get honor, which is in the, you know, and cultivate it so that they'll vote for them and they'll have power. And then they'll be happy. There is no way power will make you happy. It's an important thing to use well, but it's never going to make you happy in this world or in the next. You see how wise, and Jesus is just saying, for these three basic things which make up the foundation of biblical piety, do them all for your Father. Keep your heart open and just do it for your Father. And don't do it so that, you know, you'll get that totally ephemeral thing known as honor. It's just not worth it.